Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is just so good. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And I am your host, Elder QT Docs. God is just an awesome God. As we can see, he's a miracle-working God. God is just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I just love him so much. You know, it's ironic, the things that's going on in this world today. But we know our God is an awesome God. And he reigns. No matter what happened, no matter what we see with our natural eyes, but we know that spiritually, God is in control. And he's going to continue to take control. You know, it's just our desire, you know, we need to overcome the lies that's infecting, contaminating, infiltrating our world, our society today. As we can see what has happened the last 2 days, you know, it's our understanding, it needs to be our understanding, that as of recently what we saw, that the spirit of lies and mockery is reigning supreme. But yet we can see how it's tumbling down. We saw the lies, how the lie can perpetuate and can assimilate a group of thugs, a group of individuals to do what they did yesterday at the Capitol. We saw how lies work. We saw how it worked during World War II. Or World War I, excuse me, with Hitler. Hitler lies brought together millions and millions of people. We saw that. We saw how the lies worked. Amen. God is just an awesome God, though. But like I said, I am your host once again, Elder QT Docs. I'm coming to you under the direction of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And this is Kingdom, Builders Kingdom, Daughter International Institute. And I'm under the auspices of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docs. Amen. I mean, the Lord is an awesome God. We see so much that's happening today. Let us pray. Truth. We're talking about truth today. Truth is going to lead us to greater knowledge. Truth is going to lead us to compassion. Truth is going to lead us to understanding, respect, charity. And truth is going to also lead us into the excellence of virtues. We're going to talk about truth. Amen. And I pray that God continue to open our hearts and open our ear gates to the truth. We ask him, our Heavenly Father, to allow truth to strengthen us, to guide us, to lead us, to protect us, and keep keep us safe, sound, and secure with his mercy. We are, and I am asking the Lord to supersede over all of us, all of the listening audience that's on the internet, that's on the telephone, asking our Heavenly Father to continue to constantly dwell in us the truth, to constantly allow us to be unafraid of what we might face, to constantly allow us to be vigilant and poised for the speaking of his word, and to allow us to be witness of who we are in the truth. Amen. Our God is an awesome God, and he reigns. I mean, we're going to be coming out of Luke 4. We're going to be talking about the fraud and the deception of Satan. But recently we see that the spirit of lies and mockery is reigning supreme. And sometimes we believe these lies on a personal level. You know, like such as people say, I am not worthy, or I am not good enough. You know, those are lies that Satan wants you to believe. But sometimes we fall into that confusion and not knowing what is true about the church, about our relationship, about the media, about what's going on in society. But we know that Satan is the father of lies. But our God is the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. Let us seek him without a doubt. Let us seek him above all else. Amen. Our God is just so good. Fraud and deception. You know, Satan. You know, we refer to that great enemy of humanity. That is a biblical name, Satan. But it's a name that St. Luke never uses. Luke uses exactly one word for the enemy that our Lord confronts and defeats in today's gospel reading. That name is the devil. So what does the name mean? In Greek, diabolos, from which we get our word devil, literally means to set apart or break asunder, to divide. Ain't that what he does? As you can see what transpired yesterday, how our President Donald divided the people in this country, in our democracy, how he divided democracy, how the people follow his lies, because he continues to lie. And when you continue to lie, people have the propensity to believe that lie without a doubt. And that's what he did. People believed him. So he assembled his armies. They are so deceived, but they believe him as being their savior, their leader, to take them to the next level. Amen. And it's more like when you lie so much, you slander the meaning of the word of truth. But slander or lie, it's all the same. And when you try to break down what is true and what is not, you know, you have to be anchor. You have to be anchor in the word in order to stay afloat. Because if you don't, you're going to sink with the lies that is being told to so many. So how do we get to the meaning of the devil as a slanderer, from setting apart or breaking us out? What does the devil separate such that is he is a liar? The answer is that, to me, it's clear. The devil is a liar of a particular sort. His lies consist in separating fake and the truth. Fake news now. And passing it off as the real thing. Isn't that what we've been hearing for the last 4 years? The devil is a counterfeit. You know what I mean by counterfeit? It looks like the real thing. You know, it appears to be the real thing. That counterfeit is, it just, but it's not. That's all it is a counterfeit. But some of us that don't have that spiritual eye, that don't have that, don't have our ear gates tuned to what is right, we tend to fall for counterfeit things that comes our way. Because it's so close to the real thing, we fall for the counterfeit because we don't know any better. And we don't know any better because we don't study the word. We don't study the word. So that is why I'm talking about this fraud and deception, because of what transpired yesterday, and we saw that it's just unnerving. It's just disturbing to see how one man can assemble an army of demons to try to tear down democracy. Amen. Oh, pray for me. As Brother Dave said, you pray for me and I pray for you. Let's see what God is going to do with this message I'm trying to convey here. Amen. You know, the devil lies are never outright or obvious. As you can see, what our Donald's been doing the last 4 years. He's throwing things out there that's obvious to some, but not obvious to others. But cunning and indirect is what is being used. That's what Satan does. That's what he does to us as individuals. If we are not attuned and not aware to his cunning ways, the bait that he used to get us to say, hey, try it, man. It's not going to hurt you. Try it. You know, it's good for you. You feel good doing this. You feel good doing that. And once you try it and you appear to like it, he got you. You know, this is why the devil said to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, command the stone to become bread. Notice what he said. He said, if you are the Son of God. You see how he tricked the words? He's not saying you are the Son of God. He said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, from the mountain. If you are the Son of God. Notice the devil does not say, you know, you're not the Son of God. Because an outright denial of the truth is easier to detect and to reject. His attack is more careful. He seeks to insinuate and sow doubt. And that's what the enemy does in our heads. He tends to insinuate, to sow doubt. Like, you know, I double dare you. You know, I bet you can't jump across that ledge. I bet you can't swim across that lake. I bet you can't steal that bottle of liquor. I bet you can't, you know, I double dare you to take a hit off this, you know, off this joint. I double dare you to try some of this ecstasy. I double dare you to try this LSD or try here. I double dare you. That's what the devil does. He puts you in a situation where if your mind is weak and if you're trying to satisfy your peers or your homies, yeah, you're going to try just to show, oh, I'm a man, I'm not afraid, I'm going to do it. And then you fall right into the trap, the bait of Satan. Everything the devil says in his episode is an empty promise. Everything that he say to you that you think that you're going to receive It's empty. This is how diabolical temptation works. You know, we see a nice looking lady and she looks good and we think this is for us and we fall for that and then we get trapped. And then we don't know what to do after we get trapped. But now we're there. You know, it makes us doubtful and restless and desirous of something we think we need and pretend to be able to put our doubts to rest and give us what we really want. But this is a cheap illusion. What we think we need, what we think we can get, what we think we, it just draws us nearer and nearer to the wrong feeling. I just can't, I'm trying to express to you. It's just that temptation, you know, that temptation we think we need, that lust, that drug, that money, that whatever it may be, you know, it's that temptation when it's not what we really need, but we're just tempted by it, and we think, hey, if we get this, we're going to be okay. But look at the temptation that Jesus faced. We know it was total fraud. You know, you must be hungry if you're really the Son of God. You know, he sees this. The devil knows this. He said, if you're really the Son of God, then why not just use your power? He wanted him to just use his power to change the stone to bread. That all is tempted. Like when people tempt us. Look, man, I bet you can't go in that store and steal that diamond ring. I bet you can't. I bet you. Let's see how long you can stay high. Let's see. Take this tab of LSD or take this PCP. Let me see how long you. I bet you. Man, I bet you're not strong enough to do this. And yet we fall for that. That bait of the bait of Satan. You know, and, you know, turn the stone into bread. And then you can eat and be happy. You know, we have authority over the whole world. It can be yours. All you have to do is worship. But the devil will tell you, you know, he has the authority over the whole world. Worship him, and he will give you what you want. So we go out and do things that's illegal, that's immoral. Then we find out that what the devil promised us was empty promises. And the devil will tell you all the things, all the authority that I have, all the glory that I have will be yours. Just do what I ask you to do. Like he's telling Jesus, if you're the Son of God, then you can throw yourself down, and God will save you. He won't let you die. He will keep you safe. He will then know for sure that, and you will know for sure if he loves you. Those are kind of trickery that the devil uses. Same way he does us. He tricked us. And if we're not aware of his bait, we fall for it. And he tells you, you know, man, go ahead on. You know, rob that person. That person got a lot of money. Don't worry about it. It'd be okay. You just miss a few dollars. You know, hit this person in the head or take a hit off this drug. Or, you know, use this drug. You'll be surprised. You see things that you never saw before if you use this. I'm telling you, the devil is saying that if you use it, you see the feeling you will get, the euphoria that you will feel after using this type of drug, using PCP, LSD, heroin, whatever it may be, you will never feel this way. Don't let the devil trick you. That's all I'm telling you. The empty promises will allure you. I mean, it'll bring you right back to what I'm trying to tell you is what we call nowadays the prospect of instant gratification. Something we want to get just for a minute or two, and then you had to come back for more, and you hit the smoking crack. You do that, and oh, you feel so good, and then you come back because now it's gone. It dissipated. It's you want it back. Now the only way to get it back is to go purchase some more crack, or if you don't have the money, you have to go steal the money to get it, or you have to go rob the money to get it, or you have to, whatever you have to do to get that crack again. See, that seems to be the hallmark of our culture. We fall for these little tricks that the devil uses to bait us in. You know, our fallen world provoke us to doubt, and doubt what is really within us, to doubt our desire. You know, I know Brother Dave said the other day, or maybe it was last week, he mentioned something about share and repair. He said it's easy to share the lies, is what I'm trying to say. It's easy to share something that's not true. It's easy to tear someone down that's not true. You share with the people on the social media. We share these lies. We share these untruths. But share and repair. It's hard to repair what you put out there. It is hard to repair. You can't put the fire out because it's spreading wild now. Share and repair. Watch and gird your tongue. Because we lie, the lies that's out there, and if we continue to share those lies like we have seen in the last 4 years, he shared so much lies, over 25,000 lies, that the people believe it. And now when you're trying to repair it, it's too late. He can't do it. Because now they believe everything he says. And he's caused these armies of demons to rise and do wrong. Amen. And when we are told that our doubt, that and anxiety have a set in solution, but the fallen world has caused these doubts and anxiety in the first place. We cause it ourselves by believing what is said that's untrue. So we cause this pressure upon us in the first place. This fallen world, the material that we seem to worship makes us worse, not better. We appear to worship man, or worship man, and let him direct our destiny. That's not good. This instant gratification is a fundamental, it's fundamentally opposed to the truth. You know, we think, oh gosh, man, this. Just give me 3 minutes of that, you know. Give me 2 minutes of that, and now it's gone. Now you're back to where you started. Now if you want to get back to where you want to go, you'll do some more wrongdoing in order to get that instant gratification. This is that subtle lure that truly deserves to be called diabolical. How the enemy gets into our head, gets into our minds, and make us see things and believe things and hear things that's not true. This is the pulling away of the illusion from the truth. Amen. See, but Jesus already knows the truth. Now, there can be no question that he is the Son of God. There is no ifs, buts. That he is the Son of God. Exactly how the devil tries to divide us from the truth, we already know. And we know by knowing the Word of God, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we know it's not the truth. See, Jesus knows, and we know that he is the Son of God because of what Luke said at the very beginning of chapter 4. Jesus, you know, returning from Jordan, Luke says that made his way into the desert. What happened at the Jordan? Jesus was baptized. And when he was baptized, God the Father himself said, "Thou art my beloved Son." Now, this is the truth from God's own word. And the truth exposes the counterfeit lies of the devil for what they are. We are God's children. No matter what the devil says about us, I don't care how debased, degrading, the devil, what that he says, the devil says, we know that it's a lie because we know that we are bigger than that. We are better than that. We know that we are the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know God is not a letdown God. Amen. And this is how Jesus defeats the devil, by the truth of who he is and what he is and here to do for us and for our own salvation. Amen. Command this stone to become bread. No, Jesus will not use his power to feed himself. Instead, he will feed others. First, 5,000, then his disciple and friends at the Last Supper, then at the Emirates, and finally, he will feed the very life of the world with his own body. Boy, you just have to. I mean, just knowing that, what Jesus did, and then he fed us with his body at the end. Oh, I mean, what more can you say? And you ask yourself, how can you believe the lies, the mockery that's being said? I mean, we know that it's just, we have to be on top of our game. If you then will worship me, all of this authority and glory shall be yours. Again, the devil is at his works. Jesus will not claim political power over the world. He will instead found a counter community, the kingdom of God. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Which is not of this world and exists to rebuke and hold to account every worldly power. In Luke's gospel, people who hear Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God are amazed because Jesus teaches, they said, with authority, he casts out demons by his authority. And so the truth is, he doesn't need the authority and glory that the devil falsely promised. He already has all the authority and glory, and he will use it, proclaim it, promote it to the new reign of God over all the world. Amen. Let's take a pause for a cause. Amen. Our God is an awesome God.
If he holds your hand, you won't you
Amen, amen. Don't let the devil ride. Hey, if you let him ride with you, he's going to end up driving. Hey, don't let the devil hold your hand. Because if he does, you know what's going to happen. Don't let the devil flag you down. It's telling you something. Don't let the devil do what he does best. We don't want that. Because we know that if we put the devil, we allow the devil the opportunity to get in, he's going to take control. As you can see, the devil took control yesterday. We aren't going to allow that. I mean, of course we know. Of course we know that Jesus could have done anything that the devil asked. He could have turned the bread into stone. He could have claimed power over the world and even command an army of angels to save him from her, but he won't. And that's why he defeats the devil and his lies. So when the devil tells us to do things that we know that it does not line up with the word of God, that's victory on our side. The devil ride with you. You know, you heard that old cliche, the young folks say, ride or die. Well, we're going to ride, but we're going to let the devil die on the outside because we don't need him. Amen? But we need to defeat the devils and his lies. And when we hear these lies, when the lies are shared, it's hard to repair. So if you're the one that's sharing the lies about anyone that you know, that you dislike, that you have an ought against, and then you're going to later try to repair it, it's going to be hard. Because once it's out there, you can't pull it back. It's out there. And you have to ask the individuals for forgiveness. Yourself for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you for the things that you might have shared that you know that wasn't appropriate. That's going to cause someone else demise or downfall. So what can we take away from our Lord's experience of temptation and his victory over the devil? At this time, you know, I especially want to express that there's a few things to be considered. First, about the nature of fasting. Jesus goes into the desert to fast, and he assumed his disciples will fast too. Jesus never said to his disciple, he never said to his follower, if you fast. He always said, when you fast. He assumes we will fast, and the church summons us to do so. Amen. You know, some commentator says that the devil attacks Jesus when he is hungry and thus weak and vulnerable. But I don't think so. I know so, baby, that Jesus was not weak and vulnerable. I believe Jesus was strong. He has fasted for 40 days, and so, of course, he is hungry as anyone would be. Our Lord is fully human as well as fully divine, and rarely is his humanity more conspicuously on display. But his fasting makes him not weak, but strong. His fasting strengthens Us too. So when we fast, we are strengthened. Not that we are weak. We might be hungry, but yet we see things a lot clearer. Our body is a little bit more pure when we fast because the empty promises that the devil gives us is always the easy way. And it's the easy way, but it's not the right way. That's why we like to, you know, most you know humans like that instant gratification, you know, or that microwave, you know, anything that can give us something real fast. But the devil entices us by making us think we have something. Now, on that, you know, it's actually already ours. See, he makes us think that we have it. But we have to realize our God is an awesome God. He has already given us what the devil's trying to make us believe we don't have. We already have it. It's ours. Amen. Fasting steels us against this paltry deception that the devil always brings us. Having another slice. Have another slice. Have another drink. Have another hit. Have a, you know, let's rob a bank another thing. Let's do this one more time. But it won't do you any harm. And that little girl for a little extra money and that you earn, that little stuff that you're doing that you know is not right, but you want a little bit more, and the devil tell you it can't hurt. You know, it's that look at the Instagram, something that might have changed in the last 2 minutes. So go ahead. It will make you happy. The devil is telling you to do these things. You know, do these things. It make you feel good. It make your friends look at you a different way. So why do we deny ourselves things like this? Because when we deny ourselves, we are better able to resist this cheap seduction for what it is. When we fast, we realize we don't need to gratify our material things, our fleshly needs, desire. We need to satisfy our spiritual longing. Amen. And that satisfaction can be had with the help of deep immersion of the Word of God. You got to be anchored in the Word in order to not to be pulled and blown away by the enemy's devices, by Satan's devices. Every word Jesus speaks against the devil in this encounter, every word is from the Scripture. His side of the conversation is all quotes. The Scripture Jesus primarily defends is his primary defense against the devil lies. Even when the devil himself quotes Scriptures, what this means is that Jesus does not defeat the devil just by superior knowledge of the Bible, but by willingness to abide by its teaching. What he's saying is, you know, you live what you preach. You preach, teach the word. You got to walk the word. You have to be the word. This way you cannot be persuaded not to do something that's wrong, that you know for a fact it's not right. And that is why, along with fasting, the church asks us to spend more time in the Word of God. We must know and be ready to obey the Word of God as incarnated in Jesus Christ. And to do that, we must know and be ready to obey the Word of God given to us in the Scripture. As our Lord's own example proves, when temptation comes, there is no better defense. Finally, my brothers and sisters, I want to say to you that, let me say that encouragement, word of encouragement, as we go through our journey here, our Christian journey together, Jesus is actually not alone in the desert, and neither are we. when we're here in the city, when we're here in the country, no matter where we at, we are not alone. And we must know that we are not alone. Don't let the devil ride with you. Kick his butt out your car. When you see him flagging you on the road, run him over. That's how I feel. Run the enemy over. When he tries to grab your hands, pull back. You know, pull back like the kids do, you know, how the kids will pull it back real fast and then do some little tricky stuff. Oops, you know, whatever they do. That's what we need to do to the devil. Look again at the beginning of Luke 4. Jesus has just been baptized, and there he was revealed to be the Son of God. And he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit goes with him into the desert. We are anointed. We have a comforter. The Holy Spirit is with us. So no matter where we go, in the ghettos, in the barrios, no matter where we go, in our travel, at work, in our neighborhoods, churches, we know that we are not alone. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He will lead and guide us. Anytime you feel that you are faltering in your journey with discipline or feeling tempted in any way, remind yourself of this truth. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Working through fasting and study of scriptures to strengthen you, strengthen your soul, strengthen your mind, strengthen that temple that is within you so you can be able to stand the wiles of Satan. You need that to make you holier and more able to resist the lies, Lord, the lies that beseech us in the culture of instant gratification. You know, that's how so many of us get in trouble. You know, we think, you know, that's how so many babies are being made, because we want to feel that instant gratification. You know, and we tell a person we love them just to go to bed with them. We'll tell a person how great we are in running, or how great we are in receiving things or taking things, or how we can drink more than everybody, like these college students, how we can drink a keg, and how we can do so much just for that instant gratification, just to prove something to somebody. And we don't need to prove it, because it's already done for us. We don't need to go out and make a buffoon out of ourselves. We don't need that. We are in our Christian journeys together as saints. We are not alone in this sense either. Realize that we are one another's strength. And so if we rely on the Word of God, study the Word of God, digest the Word of God. I mean, just really digest it and allow that Word to lead us and guide us. We will overcome those lies, those mockeries, those trickery that the devil has for us. So let me remind myself of the truth that we already know. We do not live by bread alone. Amen. We are not interested in worldly powers, and we dare not presume that God will keep us from every suffering or setback. But we are not alone in suffering and difficulty. The truth is that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, and that his Holy Spirit remains with us even in the desert, even in our walk, our talk. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. I just want you to know this. And in my closing, my brothers and sisters, don't believe the hype, as they said. Don't believe the lies. We have to distinguish. We have to know what is truth and what is not. What is fiction, what is nonfiction. We have to know these things. And the only way to know, to be abreast, to have the knowledge, to have the wisdom, to have the understanding, is to study the Word of God, is to pray, is to ask God for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And we have to open our hearts to receive what God has to give us. Don't let the devil ride. Don't let the devil flag you down on the side of the road. Don't let the devil grab your hands, because if he does, you're dancing with the devil. Don't let the devil enter your heart. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. I'm going to turn you over to Pastor Prophetess Teresa Docks. Amen. An awesome lady of God.
Don't let the devil ride. Because if you let him ride, he'll come in on the Capitol. If you let him get away with just a little bit, he'll take over. If you let him ride, he will surely drive. And I just thank God for Elder, as you have so elegantly made so many points, and how we should be aware of Satan's deception, because he's crafty. He's a crafty fella. You know, he'll speak half-truths. You know, he won't, like Elder said, he won't just blatantly lie. He'll speak a half-truth, a little white lie, you know, to get people to believe the lie. And he will ask questions that can cast doubt upon the truth, you know, causing people to disbelief, to not believe the truth or have faith in the truth. You know, the Bible talk about it. He's a liar, and he's the father of it. It's plain and simple, John 8:44. You know, and I just thank God, because that's why we have to stay in the Word, and so we can study and rightfully divide the Word of God, so we'll know the truth, and then we'll be set free. Because when lies are delivered, we'll know. Why? We'll try the Spirit by the Spirit. He'll get some things past you. But overall, he won't be able to ride or drive. You know, Satan has convinced so many people that they'll have the opportunity after death to choose which direction they'll go. You will not believe the people that believe that. And you can, sometimes you'll see it in movies and TV shows, even reading books. When they talk about death, moving forward to the light. You know, so we can go on and on with that one. But I want to again thank Elder for just allowing God to use him. That's what our life is all about. Allowing God to use you. That you will not let fear stop you. That you will not let the devil drive or ride, because you're going to open up your mouth and you're going to allow God to use you for his glory. That's what it's all about. Amen. And I just want to make a quick point what came to me when Elder was speaking about the rich man and Lazarus, how the demonstration that the decision made for our eternal destination, it does not come after death. That's in Luke 16, chapter 16, where it talks in verse 19 and then read on down to 31. When Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Remember, you know the story. And when the rich man passed away, it's described, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So the enemy got people thinking that they can make their decision after death, which direction they'll go. See, Satan transformed himself into an angel of light, and he will make you believe the truth, a lie, and you'll think it's the truth. So a good point, and we can definitely something to make a series out of, a segment, because sometimes you have to hear it over and over to really get the engrafted word in your spirit. That's what the enemy does. He keep regurgitating the same lie. And you keep hearing that lie, and then before you know it, you're regurgitating that lie. You know, we're programmed to believe what we hear. You keep hearing it. Sometimes we'll believe what we hear and not what we see. You know, you go to court and you testify. You know you saw it, but you're really talking about what you heard. Well, all I know is I heard him say, more so than what we see. Amen. But Satan offers his lies and his deception. So we will not be deceived by Satan's devices. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Elder, for an awesome word. And again, I want to thank our listening audience that are so faithful to what God is doing with the ministry, with Kingdom Builders. We'll be making our announcement soon about our opening location. We'll be contacting all of those that are taking part in the building. Amen. We'll be in the building, and we will be socially distancing, and we'll be following the rules. Amen. So again, I want to encourage you to sow where you're going. Go to Giveify, www.giveify.com, and you can sow into Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, which is the intercessory prayer branch. We'll be doing our community outreach, our food ministry. I just thank God, because what God is doing is he is equipping his people. He's opening the doors. And what happened on yesterday, you know what? And sometimes we don't see it that way, but what happened? The Senate and the House, they were entrapped in a room together for over 6 hours. Amen. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. So listen, they didn't want to be in that room together, but guess what? They were trapped in the room together. And guess what? They came together and they made some decisions. So what the devil meant for evil, hallelujah, it turned around. And it's working together for the good of them that love the Lord. So, Satan lies won't work. And it didn't work. Amen, amen. I want to encourage everyone to keep our dear President Trump and his family and the entire United States of America, along with the world, pray. Pray for salvation for all. Because the Bible said that it is his will, God said in his word, it is his will that no man should perish. So it's our job to pray and fight the good fight of faith and believe that we can make a difference. Amen. So amen, amen. I want to encourage you to pray for them that despitefully use you. Do good to them. Do good to them. Don't fight. in the flesh, fight the spiritual battle. And that's the only way that we can win. Amen. So I want to say God bless everyone. We love you. And just keep us in your prayers that as we move forward, that God would give us every single thing that we stand in need of so that we're able to better serve God's people. Amen. And that that servant mentality will be deeply rooted in everything that we do. Because guess what? It's worth fighting for. So again, I say God bless you. We love you. And stay on the wall. God bless everyone. And have a supernatural rest of the evening. Amen. And we say good night.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claim because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.